Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Style That Binds Us podcast. We are thrilled to welcome Annabelle Kingsley, who is the brand president and consultant trichologist of Philip Kingsley. Thank you so much, Annabelle, for coming on the Style That Binds Us podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Well, Mom and I both had a phenomenal experience coming to the clinic in New York City. We got to meet with you, and then you analyzed our scalp, and we had a fabulous scalp treatment. So we can get into more of that later. But will you start by telling us, what is a trichologist?
Yes, great question. So a lot of people do not know what a trichologist is. And we are specialists in all things hair and scalp. So we're experts in treating all types of hair loss and scalp conditions. So ranging from excessive daily hair fall, also known as telogen effluvium, to male and female pattern hair loss, and then scalp conditions like dandruff, seborrheic dermatitis, and psoriasis. But we also help people just to get their hair in the best condition possible. So not all of our clients have hair loss or scalp concerns. Some people simply come to us because their hair is brittle, it's breaking, it's unmanageable, and they don't know what to do about it. I guess a great correlation would be, you know, you see a dermatologist if you have any concerns at all regarding the skin on your face or body. You see a dentist if you have a problem with your teeth or your gums, and you would come and see a trichologist if you have any concerns whatsoever about your hair and or your scalp.
Yes, definitely, because I came to you with hair issues, and the dermatologist doesn't really focus on hair and scalp, even though you think they would. And your hairstylist at the salon isn't really trained for that. They style hair. So I didn't know where to turn. And I'm so thrilled that I did get to come into the clinic. And that was a fascinating experience and a really, you know, life-changing one for me, because you can attest to the fact that I have been complaining for a long time, for several months, about what in the world was happening to my hair, and you solved my issues. It was like a miracle. It really was. Will you tell us about the clinics?
Yes, of course. So, well, firstly, I'm so thrilled that you enjoyed your experience at our New York clinic and that we were able to help you. So we have two clinics. One is in London. That's our flagship clinic. It opened, I think, almost 60 years ago. And then we have a clinic in New York, which opened later, about 30 years ago. And my father, when he started off, he had a very small clinic. It was one room, but still in a nice area of London. And once his services became much more popular, he became more well-known, we moved to this huge brownstone on Green Street, Mayfair in London. And then demand for us in the US grew, so we opened our clinic in Midtown Manhattan. And we deal with, as I said before, any and all types of hair loss and scalp concerns and hair damage and breakage. We have consulting rooms where we sit down with each client for up to an hour to look into absolutely everything that might be impacting their hair and scalp health. And then we also have a treatment room where we give our bespoke hair and scalp treatments after consultation.
Did you tell me that you all can do virtual?
We can. That's a more recent thing. So we started during the pandemic giving virtual consultations over Zoom. We had to work out a way to do virtual consultations that was true to us as a brand. So we didn't want it to compromise on how thorough we could be. So we have a very comprehensive questionnaire you're asked to fill out beforehand. You're asked to send photos of your hair and scalp, blood tests, a list of medications, and then on the phone we'll go through family history, diet, etc. with you. And if we deem that a virtual isn't enough, we will ask someone to come in person to the clinic if they're able to.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I just remembered that this morning that you had said that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's an exciting new development. We're
Okay.
constantly working on how to make
Right.
our virtual offerings even better.
Right. It's the same with me. I have a client in Singapore now and a client, clients all over the country and the globe, but it's still a learning curve to figure out, to how best to serve people virtually when you're not in
Yeah.
person.
I think that's a sign of strength. You adapt as you go.
Sure.
You're just because you started doing something a certain way, if you think it could be better, then you change it.
Absolutely.
My first experience with Philip Kingsley was the products. So even before we had the pleasure of meeting you and coming to the clinic, we tried your products and absolutely loved them. So, will you tell us about your products and what makes them different and so much better than some of the other hair care brands out there?
So another great question. So my father, he was the first person in the world to link scalp health to hair health, and also diet and overall well-being and health to hair and scalp health as well. And he started off, I'll give you some background story. So he started off his career sweeping up hairs in his uncle's barber shop. And he originally wanted to be a doctor, but he couldn't afford to go to medical school. And as he was in the salon, he became fascinated, one, with the psychological importance of hair, but also how common hair loss and scalp problems are, and that there were not products that were taking into account the health of the hair and scalp. So with encouragement from his uncle, he saved up money and went to study trichology at the Institute of Trichologists. And then he started to formulate at that time in his garage on a small stove, which obviously you can't do anymore. He would whip up batches of products. And as his client base grew, he would come out with more products to meet the exact needs of the people he saw. So the products in our brand really stem from specific needs that we and problems that we see or have seen day to day in our clinic. So our products aren't, we don't jump on trends. My father used to say, we don't follow trends, we make them. And because we use our products on real heads of hair and scalp, we don't, obviously you have to do stability testing now, and you have to we do tests in laboratories as well, but how hair responds in on a hair swatch in a laboratory is very different than how it responds in real life, on a head of hair, on a growing from a scalp, with humidity, with different styling tools. So how we formulate our products is it's really to work on real people's hair, if that makes sense. And every single product takes into account definitely always the health of the hair, and also often the health of the scalp as well. And every product has our team of trichologists helping to formulate it. We do thorough testing, again, not just in a laboratory, we do it in our clinic, so we see how these products work on real people. And I know a lot of brands say this, but it is true of us. We're only as good as our products, and reputation is everything to us. So we only bring out products that truly work, and only use ingredients with really strong data behind them and at the concentrations that we know that they're going to work.
I love them. I love the product. They're fascinating too. There really are. There are so many more products than people are used to using. Densifying and scalp tonic and toner and all these different things. So, explain to us your holistic approach to hair care.
My father was the first to connect hair and scalp health with general health, with diet, with stress levels, with overall well-being. And a holistic approach is taking into account the person as a whole. So obviously the products that you're using on your hair, they're very important, but it's not just about conditioners and heat protection and a nice shampoo and conditioner. It's about, what else is factoring into your hair and scalp health. So things like diet, stress levels, the medications you're taking, genetics, whether you've recently had a baby, all of those things can impact your hair. And these are all things that we look at when we're treating people. And we almost always analyze people's blood tests as well. And also, obviously, of course, their scalp. So we not only should you be treating the hair itself, you need to be treating the scalp as well to get the best out of your hair. So that holistic approach is basically factoring every single element that might be impacting the look, the feel, the appearance, the manageability of your hair, and then treating it in various ways, whether that's with topical products, whether it's with creams, whether it's with dietary changes or nutritional supplements, or getting in touch with your other doctors if there's some sort of underlying imbalance that is impacting your hair, for instance, a thyroid disturbance.
Yes, it's so interesting because I thought that I never considered that my hair, was super dry. I thought that I used shampoo and conditioner, and anything heavier would, would weigh down my hair because I have fine, straight hair. So I never even considered using a mask or anything like that. It turns out that's exactly what needed to be done. So it is fascinating for sure. And you can't just Google it.
No, there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of, correct information as well, but it's very hard to sift through what is myth and what is fact. And just in terms of, your hair texture, it's the most common hair texture generally, but definitely in our clinics, fine hair that is lacking volume. So all of our conditioning products, well, most of them are geared towards adding that moisture without adding weight. So you're referring, I think, to our elasticizer pre-shampoo conditioning treatment. So it works on the finest of hair textures, but because it's pre-shampoo and you then wash away any excess heavy residue, it doesn't weigh your hair down. It just makes it much healthier and even adds bounce as well.
Your website is a phenomenal resource. So I highly encourage you to go on the Philip Kingsley website, and they have all of these blog posts about hair concerns. But Annabelle, will you tell us about some of the hair concerns that the clinic is able to treat?
Yes, of course. So the two most common hair concerns that we treat are male and female pattern hair loss, and also telogen effluvium, which it means excessive daily hair fall. So when you're losing too much hair on a daily basis, we also deal with rare types of hair loss conditions like scarring alopecia, so frontal fibrosing alopecia, and then we will treat, more common scalp conditions like dandruff, seborrheic dermatitis, and psoriasis to rare scalp conditions like pityriasis amiantacea. So we've seen it all, and we can help people with almost all hair or scalp concerns. Sometimes we will work with your dermatologist or doctor if we need other prescription products. But we deal with everything.
Yeah, that's great that you work with a doctor too if needed. So now let's talk about that elasticizer that is so phenomenal. And I heard that it was created by your father for none other than Audrey Hepburn. Is that true?
That is correct. She booked in to see him, Audrey booked in to see my father under her married name, so Mrs. Dottie. So he actually didn't know that she was going to be coming in. And she sat down in front of him and he said to her, "I hope you don't mind my saying, but you look a lot like Audrey Hepburn." And she said, "That's because I am." And yes. And she had, she had wonderful hair, but it was very damaged because she, She was constantly being styled on set, tugged with brushes, hot styling tools. So her hair was breaking and it wasn't looking great on camera. And they kept using really heavy post-shampoo moisturizers to try and smooth her hair and make it look shinier. But all those were doing were weighing her hair down. So she asked my father if he had a conditioning product that she could use that wouldn't weigh her hair down. And he said, no, I don't, but give me, you know, a little bit of time. So he went into his laboratory in London and he formulated elasticizer. So he came up shampoo conditioning treatment. So you apply it to damp hair about, you know, an hour before you shampoo, you work it into damp hair, you leave it on, and then you shampoo the excess heavy residue away, condition as usual, and you're left with all the benefits of a deep conditioner, but without the extra weight. And she absolutely loved it. She helped him work on the formula and that he would send her samples and she would feed back on it. And she would have pots of it sent to her in Switzerland. Originally, it was a clinic made product. So we hand make all of our clinic products. And when she first got it, it wasn't diluted. She had to mix it herself at home. And when we realized that that was kind of a bit annoying, when we brought it into the retail range, it's pre-diluted.
Fascinating.
Yes, I mean, I think that is the product that got both of us hooked, me long ago before we got to meet you and then mom. And what's so nice is that after you have the treatment, that scalp treatment, then the team recommends products based on your hair concerns and what you want your hair to look like. And then they give detailed instructions. So, you know, this is your routine, you know exactly what to do, and you feel very supported.
Yes. Our, you know, the, especially our clinic experience, everything's very bespoke, very tailored to exactly what your hair and scalp needs and also your own personal preferences. You know, I have clients who they might have fine hair, but they prefer not to have so much body. They prefer a sleeker look. So you kind of adjust what you're recommending to exactly what it is that they want.
Are the products sustainable?
Yes, they are. All of our packaging is either made from sugarcane or it is recycled plastic.
That's fabulous. You know what? I was just thinking about this morning. I was thinking before I came in to the clinic, I was living a bad hair day, truly, for a couple of months. I mean, Adelia got so tired of me saying, I have no idea what's going on. I think I have some illness or, you know, some sort of vitamin deficiency. And now I'm thinking, did your father coin that term, bad hair day?
He did, yes. I wish I'd asked him more about it when he was alive, but I think a magazine editor was interviewing him about hair, and he used the phrase bad hair day because, as we all know, a bad hair day just isn't about your hair. It's literally a bad day. It can be a bad week or a bad year. My father, you know, he used to say, and it's true, hair is the single most important part of the human anatomy affecting our psyche. Wow. You know, it has more sway on our mood than anything else. I mean, I hope you don't mind my saying this, more so than the clothes we're wearing, than the makeup we wear. Because if your hair isn't looking good, it just leaves you feeling at the least flat, and it can send people into really a terrible depression. So he used that phrase in the editor. I think, I can't remember. I don't want to give the wrong information. It was quite a big magazine. She quoted him, and then from there, the phrase caught on.
Well, it's so true, because a lot of my clients and friends, when I try and get them out of their workout clothes, you know, they wear their workout clothes all day long, and they say, well, even if I got dressed, you know, it's my hair. So I don't have time to fix my hair. So you're exactly right, which totally creates the feeling for them that they're, you know, unkempt and they don't feel so positive and powerful and anything else because, you know, they're stuck because of their hair. Really, really true.
Yeah.
What was it like getting to work with your father?
Absolutely amazing. He was so passionate about what he did. And, you know, I was incredibly fortunate to have him as a mentor. And I actually started working for him, not thinking that I would ever stay working for him. I was in my late teens and just kind of started working at the clinic as something to do as a way to earn some money. And I completely fell in love with the business. And that's down to him, what he created, his passion for what he did, how interesting it is. You know, it's there are so many factors within the business, within the clinics, about how we care for people. So it's, you know, it's not just hair products. It's really getting to know people, looking into their general health, their family history. You know, it's so intricate and so interesting. And he kind of fueled that passion in me as well.
Well, we love a family business, of course. Will you tell us how you go about formulating new products and also choosing the scent? So is it based on customer concerns and questions, as well as you're setting the trends? How do you figure out what's coming next?
So it's mostly about need. So we won't bring out a product that we don't think that will meet a need. We'll listen to our customers and our clients' concerns. We'll keep an eye out for new and better ingredients. You know, not newness doesn't always mean better, but we all go to conferences, so we're very up to date on the latest ingredients, the latest formulations. So we'll base what we're bringing out on what we've recently learned, you know, on our knowledge, on new knowledge. We definitely, you know, we do thorough testing in our clinics, as well as in laboratories, in terms of how effective a product is.
I think that's great because, you know, people do create more products than is necessary a lot of times. Does Philip Kingsley give back in any way?
Yes, we do. My father, you know, he was very passionate about helping women with breast cancer because my mother had breast cancer. So we donate to Look Good, Feel Better. We have our range, No Scent, No Color, which my father formulated for my mother when she was having chemotherapy and radiation therapy. And a percentage of each shampoo and conditioner goes to Look Good, Feel Better cancer charity. And we also support the Royal Marsden. Every year on my father's birthday, we donate all the proceeds from the website to Royal Marsden Cancer Charity. We also support Hospice UK and Blueprint for All.
Amazing. That's wonderful. And that is so true with the breast cancer and hair. You know, that's a real thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, here we are on a very snowy day in Manhattan. So will you please give us some tips on how to care for our hair in the winter when we have this dry heat? It's frigid outside. What are we supposed to do?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's not a very hair-friendly season, definitely. Or a scalp-friendly season. So I think I'll start out with the scalp. So I mean, personally, you know, my scalp is a little itchy at the moment because when you have your central heating blasting on high, when it's freezing cold out, you know, it can be quite irritating to the scalp. And a lot of people find their scalp does itch more in the winter, that if you're prone to dandruff, that it flares up much more. So in the winter, you know, take extra or different care of your scalp. So if you find that your scalp is itchy or irritated, swap out your regular shampoo for a soothing antimicrobial one. I love our flaky scalp shampoo and also our flaky scalp tonic. Tonics are great. They're left on the scalp. Those actives really get a long period of time in which to work. And also, take a look at your diet as well, because a lot of the foods that we eat more of in winter, like full fat dairy products, cheese, we might drink, well, maybe not now, it's dry January, but in, over Christmas and New Year's, champagne, very sugary and spicy foods, those can also aggravate the scalp. So if at the moment you're finding your scalp is not being very kind to you, use topical targeted products, but also potentially make some tweaks to your diet as well. In terms of how your hair is looking, frizz is often mostly associated with summer, but it can definitely happen in winter as well, because you get these constant changes in humidity. You're in the dry indoors, then you step outside, it's damp, it's snowy. You go into the subway, you're wearing a hat, you start to sweat, that wets your hair. And then, by the end of the day, you're smooth and shiny, blow dry. It looks like you've kind of been dragged through a hedge. And, you can't, with the extremes in weather and commuting, there's nothing that's going to completely shield your style from the elements, but there are definitely things you can do to help. So frizz occurs when moisture in the atmosphere penetrates into your hair shaft. Your hair is held together by different bonds, one of which is called hydrogen bonds. So they're broken and reset by the presence of water. So they're very cool, they're very handy, because when you wet your hair, when you blow dry, sorry, when you wet your hair when you shampoo, it means that you can manipulate these bonds into any shape you desire pretty much when you're styling. However, they're not just broken when you want them to be. Any moisture in the atmosphere, when it enters the hair, it breaks those bonds, and then your hair dries and they reform in whatever configuration kind of that they want to. And that's what causes frizz. So a great product to use is one that lightly coats each hair cuticle, kind of creating a barrier between moisture in the atmosphere and your hair, so it's not able to penetrate it. So serums are very good at this. I love our Pure Color Frizz Fighting Gloss. It does exactly what it says. It really helps to prevent frizz. It gives a really nice smooth style, but doesn't add a lot of weight at all. Also, if you're wearing a hat when you're walking around outdoors, take it off when you go, onto the subway to prevent yourself from sweating.
And what about all these, like I had before I learned to use your products, I had just flyaways stuck to my face. They were just everywhere. They were just driving me crazy. And electricity in your hair. Is that a sign that your
Yes.
hair is dry?
Well, dry hair is always damaged, and damaged hair has it has a damaged outer hair cuticle, and this allows moisture. So the outer hair cuticle is basically your hair's protective armor, and it helps to regulate moisture loss and absorption into the hair. So when this outer cuticle is damaged, and when it's healthy, it should lie flat like tiles on a roof. The outer cuticle is made up of small scales. When it's damaged, it's raised, so water can enter it more rapidly, and then so it's you're more prone to frizz. So
Okay.
that is why when your hair is dry and damaged, that you will see more flyaways. But it's also if you have breakage, which is causing a lot of shorter hairs to appear. Shorter hairs also frizz more easily than longer ones, because they just don't have the weight. They kind of stick up randomly and annoyingly throughout the longer
Yes.
hairs.
Fascinating. Oh,
And I
boy.
guess the other thing is just, to keep your hair healthy, hydrated, in good condition, use a weekly pre-shampoo conditioning treatment. And I really recommend using elasticizer for
Same. So do I.
that.
Does the amount of water you drink have anything to do with that? I mean, does that help your skin and your hair, or is that it's healthy, but it's not necessarily going to help your hair that's dry?
I mean, it won't help your hair, because your hair, once it's grown past scalp
Oh,
level,
yeah.
it's a dead tissue. But it will help your scalp. So if you're dehydrated, your scalp is skin. Your scalp could become, dehydrated as well. So drinking enough water, not too much, but enough is going to help your skin generally.
Okay, that's so funny that we don't think of our scalp as skin. We spend so much time, like you said to me that day, on our skin, on our face and on our body, but we don't think too much about the fact that our scalp is skin as
Yeah,
well, right?
exactly. Yes, it is. It is a constant frustration for me. But then when I point it out to people, they say, oh, yes, obviously that makes sense. Your scalp is simply an extension of the skin on your forehead. It is exposed to the same environmental pollution as the skin on your face. You know, it needs to be looked after in a similar way. And how we do hair and scalp care is kind of mirroring that daily face care routine that you have. So, you know, cleansing frequently with a cleanser that's suitable for your scalp and hair texture. Obviously, you have to take the hair into account as well. You know, using a tonic on your scalp every day, using a scalp mask to address any concerns once a week. So, you know, you can use an exfoliating mask, a stimulating one, and then taking care of the hair itself. But yes, it's I think there is definitely more awareness of scalp being skin now, but there's still quite a ways to go. I suppose the other thing to say is also with diet, you know, what I mentioned how diet certain eating certain foods might be triggering scalp problems or flaring them up. And my clients will inevitably say, oh, of course, you know, when I eat XYZ, it really impacts the skin on my face. I get more breakouts, my skin's greasier, you know, my skin's more irritated. And, you know, those same foods can also aggravate the scalp.
Fascinating. That is definitely going to be new knowledge for the most of the people listening to this podcast, but it's going to make perfect sense once they think about it too. I'm glad you brought that up.
Will you tell us about a scalp massage? Is that really important? And if so, what are some of the benefits of a scalp massage?
Yes, so definitely. So we give scalp massages in our clinical treatments in London and New York. I mean, one of the, you know, the benefits of scalp massage is that it's really relaxing. And most of our clients who come in are, you know, they're quite upset. They're very stressed about their hair loss or their scalp concerns, or potentially someone might have both a hair loss and a scalp concern. So for us, massage, you know, it's meant to really give our clients time to relax and unwind and have their worries taken away. So, and that is actually really important in terms of hair and scalp health because stress can have such a profound impact on the hair growth cycle and it can also worsen scalp conditions. From an actual, you know, hands-on treatment point of view, scalp massage is going to help really exfoliate the scalp. So clean it properly. A lot of people, especially if they have hair loss, they might not be shampooing their hair as often as they should just because it is so distressing when they do shampoo their hair, the amount of hair fall they see. So it's really imperative that we cleanse that scalp so that any topicals that we are applying afterwards are able to properly penetrate it. And then lastly, it also aids in lymphatic drainage.
Well, it is very relaxing. I was laughing because who is the man that performed Delia's scalp massage? Steve. He was so cute
Yes.
talking about Delia. He said most people come in here and some actually fall asleep. It's so relaxing. But Delia just talked the whole time, wanted to know every detail, and I loved it. I was like, "That's my girl for sure."
Steve's
But
amazing. I mean,
yeah.
everyone's different. Some people want to chat, some, you know, and other people just want to sit back, relax, and fall asleep. And, you know, that initial treatment, it isn't, you know, people sometimes might want to talk more. And then when they come in for subsequent treatments, that's when they start to just take advantage of the quiet time.
It is really frustrating and surprising how much stress affects the body. And it's something that we should be able to control because it's within our own minds. It just is really frustrating, but also, important to realize that something, some of the things that could be going on in your body and your, with your hair and your scalp really come down to stress. Do people, I know. Yeah. So that leads to the question, what should someone do if they are experiencing hair loss?
So the first thing would be don't panic. You know, if you're noticing excessive daily hair shedding, also known as telogen effluvium, this is a temporary type of hair loss. The hair follicle hasn't been damaged. It can be really, really distressing, but the hair does grow back. And once you find the underlying cause, then you can fix it. With things like female pattern hair loss, you might not be able to reverse, you know, the density that's been lost, but it's definitely treatable. And we, you know, very often see really good new regrowth as well. I just think the thing would be to seek help, you know, as soon as you notice that there's a problem, don't leave it. Because, you know, if your hair shedding is left to go on for many, many months, you know, it can really impact the thickness of your hair even more. And it's really good to find out those underlying causes. Don't just go online and buy, you know, X serum or take nutritional supplements, you know, handfuls of them, because it's really useful. Not even useful. It's you kind of a necessity to know exactly what is causing the shedding. So it could be, you know, iron or ferritin deficiency. Ferritin is a stored iron. Your supplement might not contain iron. It might not contain enough iron. Or maybe it's you have a vitamin D deficiency that's causing hair loss, or, you know, more rarely, but it does happen, Delia, zinc deficiency. Yeah. So it's good to kind of have that thorough check, so you know exactly what it is that you need to be doing. And in terms of female pattern hair loss, it's a progressive hair loss condition. So, you know, it doesn't stop until you treat it. The hair continues to get finer and finer. So you don't want to waste your time kind of listening to TikTokers or you know, whatever products that you've read about but you're not sure how they work. It's better to start on something that you know has, you know, clinical studies, data behind it that actually that it does work.
And I think that goes along with, if something is going on with your body, your skin, your hair, anything like that, it's your body telling you something's out of whack and you need to figure out what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a really important thing to say is also don't feel alone, because hair loss in women is incredibly common. It's just as common in women as it is in men, actually probably even more so, because telogen effluvium, so excessive daily hair shedding, is much more common in women than it is in men, because women, you know, are much more prone to things like iron and ferritin or stored iron deficiency, because we bleed every month. Also postpartum hair loss, you know, things like that, menopause. So there are more triggers for women to lose their hair than there are men. And, it, you know, it's not just confined to perimenopause and menopause either. We see tons of very young women in their teens and their 20s coming in with both excessive daily hair fall and also female pattern hair loss. So don't feel ashamed and don't feel that there isn't something that can be done about it.
That's great.
It was so much fun to post about the experience. And then people were commenting saying, oh, is Steve still there? Or someone commented and said, they helped me so much after postpartum hair loss. So the Philip Kingsley Clinic is really about solutions. So you come there with any and all hair issues, and then they will help you. They will not make you feel bad or gaslight you or anything. I know health, you can get all kinds of experiences and responses that aren't great and then maybe prevent you from seeking out help in the future. So we highly, highly recommend you can start with an email or a phone call to just kind of start exploring and asking questions. And then that clinic appointment with the scalp treatment is just, can seriously, it could be life changing. So now I'm 32 and now I have gray hair. So is gray hair preventable? And what should you do once
you might have one?
Your gray hairs come?
So, no, I'm sorry. It's not currently preventable. I mean, I know that there are all these products coming out that claim to reverse gray. You know, there's just, I haven't seen the kind of solid data that they actually work. I wouldn't say there's any harm trying them, although I have heard some reports on some of the pills you can take for graying can actually, you know, some people have had reactions, but anyway, generally topically, no harm. But I don't really think they're going to do anything. When you go gray, it's largely determined by genes. We know that severe vitamin B12 deficiency can cause premature graying. There are other illnesses that can as well, certain medications, but you know, though that's that, you know, quite rare in the general population. If either your mother or your father turn gray in their 20s, you know, there is a much stronger chance that you will turn gray early as well. In terms of, you know, what you can do about it, you know, there's no shame in turning gray. It's basically just, it's a hair without a pigment. So hair pigment is called melanin. It's when, you know, melanin cells stop being produced and you have an unpigmented hair, and unpigmented hair can be very beautiful, and it's up to you how you want to deal with them. You could dye over them, and you could have highlights put in to kind of camouflage the grays, or you know, I have quite a few clients who've just embraced their grays, grown out the hair color they've been putting in, and it looks absolutely beautiful. And they don't have the damage from coloring. So it's really a personal preference. And it's really, you know, it's associated with age. And yes, obviously, you're much more likely to have grays as you get older, but it's, you know, you can be in your 20s and go totally gray. And some people don't see their first gray till they're, you know, in their 50s, 60s.
And then you, so there's that whole myth of if you pull it out, you grow two more. But we had the conversation. You told me do not pull them out, and this is why. So will you tell us, is, will you debunk
Yeah.
that?
I will. Yes, I'm very happy to debunk that bit. So, well, firstly, if that were true, we should all pull out our grays because it would mean we'd grow more hair. It would be a great way to get thicker hair, you know, double the amount of hair you have on your scalp. But that doesn't happen. You pull out one gray hair, it'll grow back. But if you do it again and again, you keep pulling a hair out from the follicle, you can damage the follicle. The hair can grow back distorted, and eventually, you know, severe instances, hair can stop growing back altogether. And you might think, oh, it's just one hair here and there. But when you have over, you know, 100 gray hairs on your scalp, you could get bald patches. So no, don't pull them out.
What are some other hair myths that you can debunk?
Oh, there are a huge amount of hair myths. So I guess one of the most common hair myths that I hear in clinic is shampooing will make my hair fall out, or I shouldn't be shampooing daily. And it actually, it surprises me because a lot of people are so, well, actually, it doesn't surprise me, but a lot of people are so thrilled when they get given the permission to shampoo their hair as frequently as they would like. I don't know where, you know, actually the myth came from. I think it's probably because, you know, back in the day, shampoos were pretty much really harsh soaps, and you would shampoo your hair. They would leave scum on your hair. It would dry the hair out. So yes, back then shampooing was damaging. But nowadays, you know, the formulas that we have are, you know, they're very effective. They're geared towards different hair textures, different hair conditions, and daily shampooing. Not only does it not cause hair loss, it actually helps with hair growth because shampooing really, it's not about cleansing your hair. It is about cleansing your scalp, which is skin. And you need to keep your scalp clean and clear of flakes and debris in order for hairs to grow to their best ability. We know that a flaky scalp can increase daily hair fall. And also any kind of scale or flakes, dead skin cells on the scalp, when they're around the follicle, can actually impact the strength of the hair as it grows. So it can result in more brittle hair. So that would be probably the biggest myth. And in terms of it actually causing hair loss, yes, you do see more hair, the most hair when you shampoo, but that's simply because the act of massaging when you shampoo is just dislodging hairs. that are sitting loosely in the hair follicle. They're not attached to blood supply anymore. They're ready to come out. Massaging them loosens them, and that's when you see them. And the more days you leave between shampoos, the more hair fall you will see when you do shampoo. Obviously, you know, I'm not saying everyone has to shampoo daily or even should shampoo daily, but if you have fine hair and you like to shampoo daily, definitely do. When you have fine hair, you have more oil glands on your scalp than any other hair texture. It's why fine hair gets greasy really quickly. Shampooing helps to add body. So daily shampooing generally, if you have fine hair, is the best thing that you can do. Or if you have a scalp condition, definitely the best thing that you can do. If you have coiled hair, you know, daily shampooing, it's not going to be realistic. You might not like how your hair feels right after shampooing, but try not to leave more than kind of 3 days between cleansing your scalp, because it will have an impact on the health of your scalp.
That's very, very wise.
I guess another myth is, you know, cutting your hair makes it grow faster. No, it doesn't. It's not like grass. Your hair, you know, your hair tissue is dead once it's grown. What you do to the ends doesn't affect growth from the roots. Having a trim can definitely, you know, thicken up the look of your hair. If your ends are wispy, it can get rid of split ends, which helps to prevent damage further up your hair shaft, but it's not going to make your hair grow any faster.
These are fascinating.
They are. Are there any other things that people accidentally get wrong about their hair?
I think method of shampooing is something people often get wrong. So I'll see a lot of men and women. I'll ask them when they last shampooed. I'm looking at their scalp and they say shampooed yesterday. And I see lots of scale on their scalp, or scale is basically dead skin cells. And I also see quite a lot of oil still sitting on there, pooling around the hair follicle. And it's because they're too kind of rushed when they shampoo, or they focus more on their hair and they don't focus on their scalp. So if you were to read the back of any facial cleanser, it will generally say work the cleanser into your skin for roughly a minute. And the same applies to when you wash your scalp. So really get your fingertips onto your scalp, gently but firmly massage your shampoo into your scalp, all over, front to back, side to side. Don't miss any areas. And after a minute, you know, gently squeeze the sides a few times through the length of your hair, and then rinse really well, because you have to rinse well in order to remove all of the grime from your hair.
I asked you about those tools that, you know, that you can use to scrub your scalp with. Those, I don't even know what they're called, a scalp scrubber or something like that.
Yeah.
That have prongs. And you said that's not necessary and it could actually do a little damage, right? So we don't need to have.
No, I mean, your fingertips are your best tool, and you can also feel what you're doing. You can feel if the hair is tangling with a scalp scrubbing brush. You can't feel if you're tangling the hair, really. They can be quite harsh on the skin. I always say, you know, if you're in doubt about your scalp, ask what if you do that to your face. So would you use one of those scrubbing brushes on your face? Most likely not. You know, you'd exfoliate with a chemical exfoliant with your fingertips, or maybe a very gentle mechanical exfoliant, but you wouldn't use a harsh brush.
And that's kind of like what you said for hair brushes as well, right?
Yeah. That is another big, it's not, it, well, I guess the myth would be brushing your hair 100 strokes a day is good for it, which definitely isn't. I think, again, this is, you know, way back when we didn't have running water.
Right.
People didn't shampoo, and brushing your hair was bit like beating the dust out of a carpet. You know, you're like getting the, you know, those 100 strokes a day. But it does it. If you you know, think of your favorite sweater, you know, it's if you were to brush it repeatedly again and again, it would get frayed. And the same goes, you know, the tissue of your hair is stronger than that of the sweater, but you know, your hair isn't skin. It doesn't regenerate itself like your skin when it's nicked or scratched. So once those cuts are made, they remain there. Brushes, really scratchy ones like boar bristle brushes, can create these micro tears along the hair shaft. And then over time, this can really weaken the hair and cause breakage. It can cause split ends. So the brush you use, especially as it's a tool that you use every day and potentially multiple times a day, is so important to hair health. I tell my clients to do the back of hand test. So your hair doesn't have nerve endings, so it's very hard to tell when a tool is damaging it. So gently run whatever brush you're using over the back of your hand. If it leaves marks, if it feels scratchy, it will be doing the same thing to the hair cuticle, and you should replace it with a more hair-friendly brush. I recommend brushes with rounded plastic prongs and vented cushion bases.
I love my new brushes. Thank you very much for
You're
that.
very welcome.
And we might have already answered this, but how does what you eat and your vitamin levels affect your hair? Do you feel like we've discussed enough?
I think we could discuss it a bit more because it is so important.
Okay.
I say that, diet is, it's the main pillar of hair care. Because
Okay.
no matter, even if you are using the best products in the world and you're looking after your scalp, if you aren't eating well, your hair simply won't be as good as it could be. Your hair isn't an essential tissue, at least physically. So psychologically, yes, it is the most essential tissue, but physically we can survive without it. So it's neglected by the body. If we are deficient in any vitamin and mineral, even if the deficiency isn't clinically low, it can impact hair growth. Our hair is the last part of us to receive the nutrients we ingest, the first part of us to be withheld from, and hair loss is, often the first sign that our diet isn't right or that there's an absorption problem there. For women, the most common deficiencies that cause hair shedding are ferritin, so stored iron deficiency, vitamin B12 deficiency, vitamin D deficiency, and also, it's said that it's not common, but I've seen it a lot, is zinc deficiency as well, especially in the postpartum period, and if you follow a vegan or vegetarian diet. It's not just what you're eating, it's the times you're eating it, it's how much you're eating. Your hair cells are the second fastest dividing cells the body makes. This is why hair falls out when you have chemotherapy, because chemotherapy drugs target rapidly dividing cells. Like cancer cells, hair cells get caught in the crossfire. Because hair cells divide so rapidly, their energy requirements are huge. They need a steady supply of nutrients. They need a steady supply of energy or calories. So, making sure you're having complex carbohydrates with each meal, you're eating enough protein, your hair is made of protein, it's responsible for your strand strength and structure, and lack of dietary protein can cause the growth of brittle hair. That you're not skipping meals, that you're eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that you're having snacks in between. Having a well-balanced, healthy diet is so important to hair growth support.
Fascinating. Everything is, there's so much more to it than anybody. I was thinking before it was just my hair until something happened to it. And now, I'm learning all of these things that are so fascinating and important to know.
Well, I'm very happy I was, able to kind of offer more insight.
Same. Oh my goodness. I'm so thankful that you helped mom, and you are a font of knowledge. And of course, you help me. I absolutely love whenever I want my hair to look the best, I will use Phillip Kingsley products, which we used before our segment on Good Morning America. We use the scalp treatment as well as the elasticizer, the scalp cream. So, Annabelle, we did it. Will you tell us what's next for you?
I guess, doing what we're doing, staying true to our core brand values. So, not losing sight of our ethics and, creating products that truly work. In terms of exciting new developments, I can never talk too much about them because they're, excited. They're not yet launched, but keep a watch on our clinic because we do have a super exciting new formulas that might be coming out soon.
Ooh, that's
So
exciting.
that's something, and also just really working on our online offering as well. So we have a new online subscription service for men currently, and we're working on one for women as well. It's slightly more complicated because hair loss in women is generally more complicated. You can have all of those other factors, diet, thyroid, postpartum. We really want to carry that through to our subscription service, but that's something else that we're working on and very excited about.
Well, we think everything that you all do is phenomenal. I love the videos that I watched before to teach me how to use the products at home and everything. I think you do everything you can to get the information out there, and people can actually reach out to you all via the clinics and get answers to questions they have as well. So where can people find y'all?
So if you live in the States or in New York, our New York clinic is 16 East 52nd Street, between Fifth Avenue and Madison Avenue. We are located on the ninth floor. And in London, we're in Mayfair, 54 Green Street.
And then you have a website.
Yes. And if online, it's for the US, www.philipkingsley.com. And if you are UK based, then it's .co.uk.
Oh my,
Fabulous.
yes. Well, thank you so much. We highly, highly, highly recommend visiting the clinics, trying their products, getting to meet Annabelle and the team because it really is such a solutions-based company. So thank you, Annabelle, for everything that you do.
My pleasure.
And thank you for coming on the podcast.
Oh, it's been such a treat. Thank you so much.
We hope to see you soon, and thank you everybody for joining us.
Thank you for tuning into this episode on the Style That Binds Us podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure to tell a friend and subscribe. You can be a part of growing with us. Also, do you know about our weekly newsletter? You'll get access to exclusive content in our newsletter that we don't post anywhere else.
Our newsletter comes out every Tuesday, with the exception of the third Thursday of the month, for Allison's special Celebrating Life After 40 edition. Head to the bottom of the Style That Binds Us website to subscribe.